Today on Real Radio.
Hey, have you wandered away? Are you a Christian? Have you wandered away? You've been dating Rocky or playing around with bubbles and you're straight from God and you're goofing off. You're not happy, are you? Hey, if Zacchaeus was happy, he would have stayed home. Why are you here? Why? Maybe you're listening in right now on the radio. Why are you here? Tuning in. What's going on? What's going on in your life? Did you know God knows? I'm so glad that only God knows.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse journey through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The first 10 verses of chapter 19 contain a record of the fascinating account of Zacchaeus, the despised tax collector who happened to be short in stature. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs on how this man's life was changed in a presentation called Little Man, Big Sin, Bigger Faith.
This is a sycamore tree, just like they have in Israel. Notice how the leaves are only about the size of a little pancake right now. It's springtime. Hey, the time of this message, Luke 19, same time of the year it is right now. It's just before Passover. Sycamores are just like that in Israel today. Next slide. See that? And look at all the branches, by the way. And if you don't trim them, it'll go like that all the way down to the ground. Okay? Next picture. That's looking from the bottom up. It's got a split trunk. It goes in two directions, but it looks like it's got 10 trunks if you look at it. You can go anywhere you want. Notice how little the leaves are at this time of the year. Out of all the trees in Israel, Zacchaeus climbed, listen, the tree that had the least amount of leaves so he could see who, what, why? Jesus. Isn't that cool? I mean, I don't know about you. I think that's cool. He goes up into the tree, and I don't know what he's thinking. He wants to see Jesus. So he goes up there, and you can see in a sycamore what's happening there. But here's what absolutely gets me excited. The things that caused this little man to come out of his home and to risk all this stuff just to see Jesus, to me, is extremely romantic regarding what he wants to experience. What is he searching for? What's he looking for? Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Maybe Zacchaeus heard that. I don't know. But what drew this man into such an interesting setting? Look at verse 5 goes on. Are you too bad to be seen with Jesus? Think again. Why would the Lord invite you? Why would the Lord invite you? Why would the Lord invite himself? What's with the meeting? God had a divine encounter underneath that tree. Hey, listen, you guys know, if we plant a tree or put a seed in the ground, that's what we do. Who causes it to grow? A seed growing is a miracle. By the way, you know what's cool about a seed? You put it in the it's in a suspended state. Did you know that? Until you put it in the ground. You know what happens when you put a seed in the ground? It dies. You say it dies. I thought a tree grows. It does. As soon as it dies, it sticks out a little probe that's going to search for life, search for nutrients. That's why as Christians, we believe in resurrection. Think about it. Somebody planted a tree. Jesus, who knows everything, goes to an intersection, a divine meeting place, because Zacchaeus, some little Danny DeVito, would be sitting in a tree. God knew that. Before God flung Jupiter out into space, God knew you. All the things that are going on in your life, God knows. Everything that's happening, God cares about. And you keep that in mind. Because what's beautiful is the Lord invites himself. It says in verse 5, the Lord said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. The word must is I can't I can't continue on. This is part of the gig. This is part of the plan. Zacchaeus, come down. By the way, do you read anything in your Bible about somebody saying, Jesus, that's Zacchaeus in the tree. Leave him up there. No. Do you see Jesus saying, excuse me, somebody, what's this guy's name? Nope. What does Jesus say? Zacchaeus, come down from here. I love that. Jesus said in John 10, verse 3, my sheep hear my voice, and I call them by their names. He calls us by our names, and he says, I will lead them out, or in this case, I will lead them down. Zacchaeus, you come down. Do you have that hope today, by the way? The Bible says the Lord's coming back. When he comes back, or listen, you say, well, I don't know when that's going to be. I agree. I don't know when it's going to be, but let's just shorten the whole concept. What if today, what if this week you're going to go meet Jesus? Does he know your name? Is he going to call you by name? Can you imagine when you're fading away and all the doctors are saying, we can't do anymore? Or you see that train coming down the track and your car won't start? What am I going to do? Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that before all that comes down, you're going to hear your name called? Jack. Have you ever had surgery, or have you ever been knocked out or passed out or freaked out? Jack. Jack. You hear your name. What? Where am I? What? The first thing that you get is Jack. Now, some of you have great noble names. I have Jack. Jack. Jack is an object that lifts heavy things. Jack is a form of equine related to the horse. Right? Great name. It's my dad's nickname, but it's my legal name. My passport says Jack. God's going to call my name. He's going to call your name. And he calls Zacchaeus. I'm going to stay at your house today. Get down. There's encounters like that, and God wants to have those encounters in your life. Jacob. We'll put the verses up, and I'll just paraphrase it. You can look at them or write them down later. Genesis 28, 16 to 19. By the way, this is remarkable. Anybody who's excited about this can visit our website here at this church, because it is a U.S. government satellite photograph of the area of Israel where Bethel is. Why do I say that? Look at the verse. The verse is amazing. The verse says this, that Jacob awoke from his sleep. God had shown him a vision, a dream about his proximity to God. God was showing himself to Jacob. He's sleeping out in the middle of nowhere in a place called Luz at that time. And surely, though, he says, listen, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it. Have you ever had that happen in your life? I tell you, I've had it in my life. You ever been somewhere where you thought, God ain't in this place? We have a saying for it. What a God-forsaken place. No, it's not. He's there. Jacob wakes up and says, I thought I was in a God-forsaken place. Hey, have you wandered away? Are you a Christian? Have you wandered away? You've been dating Rocky or playing around with bubbles, and you're straight from God and you're goofing off. You're not happy, are you? Hey, if Zacchaeus was happy, he would have stayed home. Why are you here? Why? Maybe you're listening in right now on the radio. Why are you here? Tuning in. What's going on? What's going on in your life? Did you know God knows? I'm so glad that only God knows. He's so good. And Jacob says, I was in this place, and God was here, and I didn't even know it. And he was afraid, it said, verse 17, and he said, look how biblical this word I always use. It's right there in the Bible. How awesome is this place, he said. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he put under his head, that was his pillow, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil atop it, and he called the name of that place the house of God, Bethel. Guess what? When you look from satellite space, and you zoom in on the town of Bethel, zoom in on it. Guess what it says in the mountains of Bethel? YHWH in Hebrew. Yahweh is the name of God. From space, you can read the name of God in the land of Israel in the city of Bethel. I would like to argue with this, argue you regarding this is that everywhere you go, my friend, you may or may not be a believer today, but I want to tell you right now, until your time's up, God is loving on you to get you to see him. You may be kicking against God. I don't believe in God. You know what? Listen, I love you, but he's not paying any attention to that. Amen. I refuse. I think God's this. He's not offended by all your accusations against him. You're shaking your fist at him. He's not scared. My mom was a little tiny Portuguese lady, little tiny thing, little like Zacchaeus, a wee little lady she was. And it's terrible to admit this publicly, but it's true. My mom, she had such a temper. I told you before, she didn't speak English very well, and she would get mad. And when she would get mad, she would start cussing at us in Hawaiian and Portuguese. And my brother and I, we would just hold her forehead like this. And she's swinging at us and calling us all these names I'm hearing in my mind right now in Hawaiian and Portuguese. And she would just get so tired, her arms could not swing any longer. And I'm not joking. And then when, because you know, she still had strength in her legs. We would go like this and then run. Hey, people are like that with God. You know what, God? And when I meet you, I'm going to tell you. And you know what? When my baby died back in 82, and I don't know why, and I hate you, God. And I can't, and my husband left me, and my wife, she did. Oh, God. And he's just like this. And you're going, until you just give up. And let me tell you something. I've been there. That will be the most painful moment of your life. But when you give up, when you give up is when your life changes like never before. Like never. And you'll never be the same. It is a great thing to lose to God's arguments. It's very important that you lose to him. Verses 6 and 7, are you too bad, you think, to be seen with Jesus? Then why would the Lord want to be seen with you? Well, he wants to be seen with you. Look at, so he made haste and came down from the tree which God gave him to sit in. he came down from that tree and look at, received him joyfully. Joyfully. I don't want to spend much time on this. We'll go to our third point. Just this, joyfully. My friend, joy, get this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Joy is different than happiness. Just by definition. Happiness is based upon happenstance. Hey, dude, what's happening? Well, if it's good, you have a story to tell. If it's nothing, it's boring. Hey, how's your day going? Cool, man. You know why? Because you're happy about what's happening. What about tomorrow? Oh, man, I don't know. You know, people have a tendency to worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen? Who cares? You can't control it. God knows. He's in control. Take it easy. Here's the cool thing. Happiness goes like this, and all of us are prone to it. Happy, sad, happy, sad. Happiness is connected to what's going on, happenstance, and emotions. You know what's greater than and transcends emotions and what's happening around us? Did you know that right in the middle of the worst situation that you can ever imagine, you can have joy if you know Jesus? Did you know that Jesus said in John 15:11, these things I've spoken unto you, that is the word of God, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy would be full. Do you know what joy does? Joy goes like this. Joy's like this. Look, you have teenagers? Huh? Stock market? Right? As we get older, ibuprofen, Advil, doctor's visits. Right? Joy, doesn't matter. It's constant. It's divine, supernatural. Those of you who don't know Jesus, I hate to be so blunt, but I love you. Listen, those of you who don't know Jesus, you don't have any joy. Your life is constantly vandalized and victimized by the events of what's happening, and you're tormented by what could be. My friend, listen, you don't know the Lord. If you knew what it would be like to come down from the tree you're in and go with him and have him come into your house. Listen, your house, your life. He says, I must be in your house today. He didn't say, hey, Zacchaeus, you know, I don't know if you make time for me or not. Check your day timer, see if you can. Jesus said, I must. God had a plan. Third and final point, are you today ready for Jesus? Zacchaeus was a little man. He had big sins, but he had bigger faith. Are you today ready for Jesus? Verses 8 through 10. Because it's time to be honest. Honest with yourself. This is amazing. Then Zacchaeus stood. By the way, I have the word highlighted in my Bible, stood, because what it implies is, it implies that Zacchaeus stood in a different sense of character, taller than he's ever stood before. Isn't it cool? I thought he was a short guy. He's a short little giant. Physically, he's just a wee little man. But he was a giant now in a second in faith. How cool is that? Someone asked George Washington, how long will it take for a soldier to be cleared or freed of fear in the face of battle? And Washington said, some men have no fear in battle. Some men are completely terrified during the entire battle. Some men lose fear during the battle. And the answer that he wound up drawing to the conclusion was, you can have fear and you will have fear, but the key is to never give up because you have fear. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, life is getting pretty spooky outside those walls. But Jesus says, I've come to give you peace. He says, I've come to give you life. And Jesus is telling us, I believe in this, that there is an honest, dramatic change. Zacchaeus stood straight up because he was standing for something, someone that he had never known before, and this was not going to be taken away. And it was so churchless, and it was so important to him, and so perfect for him, and so needed for you to hear today if you've lost everything and you're losing everything. Zacchaeus said, follow along with me in the Bible, look at it, verse 8. Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Why did he say that? Listen, that didn't save him. Do you understand that, everybody? Because he met Christ, his heart was touched. He didn't need stuff anymore. He was going to be just fine. Don't worry, he's not going to be homeless. But he had so much stuff. He says, that's it. I don't need this stuff. That was my identity. I'm giving it away. Right now, people are losing. How tragic. They're losing their identity when the tow truck comes and repossesses it because they have no Jesus in their life. When they slap the slip on the front door of the house, people are putting guns to their heads because they've lost their identity and hope because they don't have Jesus in their life. It's time for America, it's time for the world, it's time for you and it's time for me to really, really get serious about this thing we call faith and stop goofing off and become real believers because you know what? He said to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. Tell that to the mortgage company when they're taking your house away. You know what? Take it. You want me to paint it before you take it? Do you want me to vacuum it before you take it? Take it because listen, here's the deal. I have Jesus. He said he'll never leave me or forsake me. And this is a big deal. Listen, not only be honest with yourself, but it's time to be changed. Jesus, listen to this. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because look in your Bible, because he gave all of his wealth away? No, you can't go to heaven like that. Because what? Because he also is the son of Abraham. Hey, how do you become a son of Abraham? The Jews will tell you, you have to be Jewish. The Muslims will tell you, you have to follow Muhammad. The Christian who knows his Bible will say, you have to, according to the Bible, receive Jesus Christ by faith, which causes you to become, by faith, a son or daughter of Abraham, which Abraham became a son or friend of God, By what? Listen, by what? Circumcision? Nope. God called Abraham a friend before he was ever circumcised. Baptism? Nope. Giving money? Nope. Keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, right? Abraham was way before Moses and the Ten Commandments. How did Abraham get the promise that he was going to be going to heaven? The Bible says there, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
Will you put faith in Jesus Christ? Which leads us to verse 10, and we're done. For the Son of Man, Jesus is, has come to seek, circle the word seek, and to save that which was lost. Why did God come to earth in human form? He came to, number one, it's that same Greek word. He came because he wanted to pursue, long after, chase, hunt down you. Why? To save you. Really? Uh-huh. Why? Because you're lost. Does verse 10 offend you?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Little Man, Big Sin, Bigger Faith. It's a look at the fascinating account of the despised tax collector Zacchaeus, as recorded in Luke's New Testament account, chapter 19. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder of what we're currently offering here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Now, it's quite obvious we live in a sexually charged atmosphere in our planet's history. Sexual immorality in its various forms is defended, praised, even celebrated. But what about today's churches? Well, there seems to be quite a resemblance to the original church at Corinth. In fact, here's Pastor Jack Hibbs to tell us more about this DVD series. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And you know, what we're talking about in this little mini-series entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners is the fact that political correctness is nothing new. Well, we learn in this series that at the church at Corinth, they were allowing, that is the church leadership and the body of Christ at Corinth, they were allowing sexual immorality to be conducted among their members. They didn't rebuke it, they didn't deal with it, and they spun it, Mike, as tolerance, that they were a gracious church, that they were a loving church, that they were a very tolerant church. And what they had really fallen into, Paul points it out vividly, was, in a sense, political correctness. And in our little mini-series, Paul addresses how a church leadership should deal with this and how a church itself should keep itself from sexual immorality. And so for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this three-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
I will indeed. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.